If you play video games, you've likely heard this voice before.
He will remember Precious. We will make him.
Yes, yes, yes. We must have it back. We must have it.
Quiet. Quiet, Precious.
I will not be caged again. The Shadow Pan could not stop me. Neither shall you.
Imprisoned for 10,000 years. Banished from my own homeland. And now you dare enter my realm. You are not prepared.
That's Liam O'Brien. He's a voice actor that's been in many, many of the video games you play. Everything from Illidan, like you heard just there, to a screaming soldier in the middle of Call of Duty. What you don't know is that Liam and voice actors like him are currently in the middle of a big fight. A fight for equal pay, a fight for better standards, and a fight against an industry, while still young, is trying to figure out what the best practices are and how best to treat those who contribute to the projects we buy. Video games are a very strange animal. What started out as simple blocks and colors are now huge, multi-million dollar productions for a multi-billion dollar industry, with all the fidelity, and in this case, sound, that you would expect from that kind of production. What happens when the leaders of the industry stop recognizing those who contribute in ways as meaningful? Or more importantly, what do you do as a voice artist when faced with that challenge? I asked Liam O'Brien what the difference is between video game voice artistry and that of television, animation, or film.
Well, every actor has a different sort of plate full of different projects they work on. You know, everyone gets their ins where they get them. So there, I know a lot of people who work very heavily in animation and games. I know people who only work in games and vice versa. I would say that like the world of Pickle and Peanut has less crossover with The Last of Us, but Marvel's Avengers animated series has a lot of crossover with video games, voiceover.
So the difference between somebody getting a contract with animation or TV or film or whatever, why is there such a difference between that and the core issues you guys have with the current video game contracts, or the contracts that have been around for so long that you're seeking some change with and for?
Well, animated, from where we sit, is pretty much set. It seems like a fair deal worked out, and it's been so for a while. With video games, it's been a new media for decades. And, you know, Pong is Pong, and The Last of Us is The Last of Us. So the industry gets up on stage and talks about immersive, amazing experiences, feels like you're there, and we all know that not all video games do. You know, you can also have Match 3 games. Not all games have voiceover, but the ones that need it really need it. And, you know, who knows, in another 20 or 30 years, film and games could converge or partially converge. Mm-hmm. There's no question that video games have turned into part of the entertainment industry, but at least from the actor's side, from the actor's point of view, if we're just talking about compensation, there's other issues to discuss as well. But if we're just talking about compensation, it feels to us like the video game industry is still treating their business like software and not the entertainment industry. I would say that a little bit, it's not a perfect example, but it feels like from the actor's side, we're Apple computers. We make a kind of computer, and all across the country, people buy this computer for X amount of dollars. But over at this one place that we do business with, they're saying, well, we don't want to pay the price of the computer that everyone else pays, even though that's what you've set. We'd like to pay this much more manageable price tag. We're looking, I mean, we understand no actor is naive to think that actors make a video game. Very few names ever have any power to sell a video game. It's more an idea that it will detract from the project. It's not so much that Liam O'Brien, I mean, this is not the case. Liam O'Brien is a name that's going to sell no video game. But
well, it might to me, for the record, I might get it because you're in it, but I am biased and I should have made that clear at the beginning of this. I will buy a game based on Liam being in it, even if it's bad.
But that would be a niche decision. For sure. Not many people are doing that. Instead, think of it that if you're not getting voiceover that is as immersive as your visuals are, your audio design is, it's going to detract from the whole thing. And sometimes people don't even know. They'll be playing a game and going, why is this so lame? It's the same as good sound design. If the sound of the bullets hitting the side of the alien's hide, or the explosions, or even a person's footsteps as they walk around is off or lame, it doesn't really register why you think the game is lame. You just do. It's the same for video game voiceover. I mean, sometimes video game voiceover is so atrocious that people go, ugh. But even if it's just kind of mediocre, people won't point to that as the reason why the game is bad. I mean, this is just my opinion, but I think that subconsciously bad voiceover drags the whole project down. Sometimes it's subtle and sometimes, again, it's atrocious.
Do you think it's a case of the industry has been, I mean, so video games have always, I always think of this as like cartoons, especially in the States. Culturally, as opposed to Japan or somewhere else, we look at cartoons or animation in America and we go, oh, that's for kids. Those are kid things. So there's the kid stuff. Enjoy that. That's for kids, not for me. Yeah. And video games feel like they've been trapped in the same similar kind of place, even though it's, like you said, decades old and has matured quite a bit. And now they're, you know, we're now in the era of AAA titles rivaling the cinematic tone and feel of actual films. Yet there's still this weird notion that, well, that's a thing you buy for your console for your kid and it shuts them up for the weekend. And like, there's that kind of attitude. Do you think that attitude is part of the problem here and why you guys are in the position you're in right now?
No, I mean, that might be a contributing factor, but I really think it's just, you know, these are big companies now trying to keep the bottom line as low as possible. And it's in their best interest to keep things the way they have been, because that makes things less expensive. But we're, at least again on the compensation front, trying to get something approaching equal to what we make everywhere else we go. There are residuals for commercials. There's residuals for TV. There are residuals for every actor. You don't know who they are and they have two lines and they show up and say, here's your coffee. Thanks. Come again. That person is getting residuals. That person is not selling the movie or the television show. No one is buying the project for that person. It's just the standard that has been achieved after decades of union efforts. If all those parts are ridiculous in a movie and Denzel Washington is the only one who's good, but everyone else he talks to for 50 lines or two sounds ridiculous, the movie's going to suffer because of it.
So do you feel like in this process so far that you've made progress? Is this having an impact and are you seeing progress? And do you think is there a light at the end of the tunnel?
I think it's going to, if I had to guess, I think it's going to go for a while, because the time that it's happening is right before the holidays. There's a lot of projects going, and projects that were still in the works to a certain point are able to go, mm-hmm. continue to go. So it's, I mean, personally, it's almost felt like the strike isn't happening. I don't know if you're aware of this, but it's sort of a targeted strike. It's only a handful of the bigger companies. So you can work on projects that have already been going. You can work on projects at other companies. It's just these handful, and some of those still have projects going.
Are the other companies, the ones that you've singled out as places you can still be, mm-hmm. is it just fairer practices? They're taking initiative in ways with compensation and otherwise that are more favorable to what you guys are hoping to ultimately accomplish here?
Gosh, I'm not the expert. I'm not in on the talks, but I think part of it is the companies that have been singled out are the ones that have the potential and often do hit the sales numbers that we're talking about it's not residuals, but it's like an after game bump. If a game sells 2 million copies, there's a bump, 4 million, 6 million, 8 million. And so that's a total of four possible bumps. And then it ends, even if the thing goes on to sell 20 million, however many copies.
If it's a game you subscribe to, is that a whole nother wrinkle in this, where if you've got players subscribing $10 a month to something and that goes for 20 years, right now there's nothing in place that says the VO cast retain residuals or get any sort of compensation on that back end, right?
Could be wrong, but I don't think that's in discussion. I think it is for units sold. It feels like just because of the time that this hit and going into the holiday season and the fact that all these projects are still going, both for the, definitely for the actors, because I've spoken to other actors, but I think for the devs as well, it almost doesn't feel like it's happening yet because they've all had ongoing projects, but they're beginning to start new projects. So the real ouch from this is going to come in the months ahead. So any hopes anyone had of this being like 2 to 4 weeks, I think is foolish. I think it's going to be, this is my personal opinion. I think it's going to be months.
Is it because you guys have so much, I mean, voice actors come in, they come in early, they come in often. Sometimes they come in for re-records. And you've got sometimes so much content done months and months and months, often years, depending on the game and the developers, before it ever sees the light of day. So we're talking about a hopper that's going to be full for a while. Yeah. Are you worried that will negatively impact this so that it's not on the tip of everyone's sort of news day all the time?
I mean, I think there's always new projects starting. And so the new projects are the ones who are going to feel it. And, you know, I know people, I'm a director too. So I know a lot of people on dev side as well and love people on dev side. And the actors are not downplaying the contributions that the animators, the programmers, the writers that everyone makes. We know they do, but that is out of our control. We're trying to find parity with this work that we have everywhere else we work, and we would hope that dev side follow suit because they certainly deserve it. One thing I'd like to toss out there too is getting back to the idea of us trying to win like the hearts and minds of the world and of actors selling games. It's not really about that. I mean, a lot of us are not well known outside of core gamers or a niche audience. It's more about as a voice director, I'm saying, someone who's part of the process, not just an actor. I know the difference between a good tapestry of voiceover and a mediocre one and a bad one, and it has a huge effect on perception of the game. And when people are getting up on stage at places like PSX and E3 and saying, we have cutting edge graphics, multiplayer like you wouldn't believe. These guys we got behind the 7-Eleven to act. And the best, I mean, you can't really do that anymore. You can't claim to have the best VR experience and, you know, and we're PlayStation 4 Pro and it's going to be amazing and not treat the performance aspect with the same, you know, kid gloves.
To me, this is just my opinion. It just feels like the process has so many moving gears that they just look at VO and go, well, that's one of the gears. And some may say, oh, that's an important gear, but there's no VO without this other gear. Like they're unable to sort of, it feels like they're unable when they're making this argument to separate the fact that you are in and of itself an important part of the equation, and the equation breaks without it. And that's how it feels to me. Now, maybe that's not the intent of it, or maybe I'm misinterpreting, but it feels like all you guys are saying is, look, if we're important to everything from imported anime to VO in a Pixar movie, why are we not important to this thing, which in some cases made more than those other three things combined?
Yeah, well, the disagreement is whether or not we're being compensated enough. And all we can really say is that in the other 90% of acting work, things are compensated a certain way, and they're not being done so over here. So actors will have to decide, do I spend time over? You know, it's different for Kevin Spacey. They pay him a sack with a dollar sign on it, but that's only one role. There are now like 50 to 100 roles in every game. The actors who worked on the Last of Us, I'll say, who worked on all those cutscenes, like they came over from film and TV, many of them. Why would you come over there if you're dropping down to like a lower rung? You know, it's like, I'm doing this over here and this industry wants the same nuance and the same performance, but they don't want to treat it the same way.
It's interesting too, because then you, once in a while, you have an auteur like Hideo Kojima, and he'll come along and say, all right, my weird new game has got Daryl from The Walking Dead. It's got Mads Mikkelsen. It's got Guillermo del Toro. It's got all these people in it, people we don't even know about yet. And these are, you know, Hollywood actors who signed contracts in a very different way. Mm-hmm. And I have to imagine they're having to treat them equitably. I mean, it's not like they can come in and go, oh, sorry, we don't pay our VO guys very much. So,
of course, we're talking about, this is really more about like day players. This is like the equivalent of people in a film or TV show, again, playing a cop with five lines.
Right.
You still want a quality performance for them, even though they're not the center of attention. If they're bad, they're going to stand out. And you're going to be like, what's up with this crazy cop over here? He sounds like he, you know, showed up from the Piggly Wiggly. you can't have that. Obviously, stars of film and television they're not getting base scale like every day player on the show. They have their agents are working out an arrangement for them that they both sides come to agree is fair, and it's way above scale. But you still need to be able to stock the world with everybody else. And it's the same for video games. You know, you've got Call of Duty and you've got people from film and TV coming in, but they can't do that for every single role, nor do they want to. But you still need to handle the day players, and the day players are getting a certain wage and seeing residuals. And we're not even asking for residuals. We're asking for one-time bump. I mean, and we're not even getting into the vocal stress.
That was my big next question, because I know that's part, it's been part of this conversation has been things like, you know, just take Call of Duty or something like that. You've got actors in there doing umpteen takes of a billion death grunts and screams and yells and charges and whatever it may be that they have to do. And they're doing it in a way that is actually taking the tool of their trade, the thing you need the most to be a VO actor, and stressing it in some cases to pretty high limits. And then expecting that to not have any limits or whatever. Is that the, is that equal to the compensation thing, or is that a secondary thing for you guys?
I mean, in my mind, that's more important to me, and has to change. There might be give on the compensation. Different actors feel differently. But again, as an actor and a director, as a person who has shouted grenade and he's over by the truck for The Last of Us and played orcs and so many soldiers, the rise of the first person shooter has created a huge need for people who can shout convincingly, sound like a soldier in the field and keep going. And it's just a bottom line thing. I think the companies are dragging their feet because it's been a line item. It's cost X amount of dollars. And if you are saying you have to do that session in half the time, or you can only have 2 hours per session but pay them the same amount, then that doubles the cost of soldier yelling. But I have watched actors leave with no voice, and you can't work the next day, the next 2 days, sometimes a week, depending on the person. Every actor is a little bit different, but nobody walks out of there feeling great. And you can't, you also can't go in and say, you know, I also hear people saying, you just need to take voice classes and project from your diaphragm. Well, if I yell grenade, no one's going to use that. The only way to do, you know, soldier chatter convincingly is to sound like you're covered in sand and dirt and blood and shout your ass off.
No, I've seen video of you guys doing this, and it's excruciating. Like, yeah. it's kind of mind boggling. It's not just you standing straight up in a room someplace and your mouth's making a noise. These full body, like straight up acting moments of you are that soldier to properly get that voice out. And I don't think people see that very often is the problem.
We flex our muscles, and it's like an ab workout. And sometimes when people are new and you start coaxing them into doing it, you have to remind them not to flail around and punch things and, you know, hit the mic or hold their hands up to their face.
Sure,
but
sure.
Your torso and your muscles and your neck are straining a lot in the same way. Some companies are good on the honor system of their own accord do limit to 2 hour sessions,
right,
because they've been in the business for a while and they've watched it. They've learned it. Trouble is with that kind of voiceover is we'll work with one company for an entire game and they'll shout everybody out. And then you come back and say, well, surely they've learned and they've got better practices now, but it's a new set of people who've been assigned to the gig, and they haven't learned all the lessons of the people from the last team. Mm-hmm. So it's just again and again the same sort of learning process.
Well, the part that hits me with this as we wind this down is this feeling that they, it's like gas prices went up and so they're refusing to buy gas for their cars even though they need that gas for their cars.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if that's an apt comparison or not, but it does definitely feel like, well, it's more, we don't want to pay more. This is a thing that we've already been paying less for, so there's precedence there, so why should we pay more?
Yeah.
And it's not like they have other gas they can go buy. It's not like
right.
they can, I mean, they can go down the rung to some very starving wannabe VO guys without the experience they need for their particular project. But your point is you need to get what you pay for.
Yeah. And I mean, I think there's misconception that they'll say, oh, it's the big names of video games. It's Jen Hale and Liam O'Brien making a stand. Well, let's just go get some other actors, professional actors to do it. Well, no, you won't. It is union wide. You will not get professional actors to work on games while the strike is on. You might get somebody who has not gotten in the union, and there are good actors who haven't gotten in the union yet, but the average is lower because they're greener. There are games that have been recorded with people outside the union, and a handful of the people, you can get a good performance out of it, but it's like 10% of it. Or you've got someone who is really good, but you need a hammer for this job, and that person is a screwdriver. So you've got the best screwdriver for what you need a hammer over here, meaning like you could need someone who's supposed to be 40 years old and sound craggy and crusty. The only person they could get who's outside of the union, who's willing to work that job, is somebody who sounds 20, 25. That's the wrong tool for the jobs because your tool set is limited.
Yeah. And we only like bad VO when it's accidental, folks. I just want to make that part clear.
The other misconception that I see on social media and online is the idea that we're trying to encourage a boycott of video games, or that we think people are going to stop buying games because we're not part of it. That's not the goal. That the people showing up in person to strike, it is trying to sort of make our case known to the world. We don't want there to be a boycott. We don't want video game sales to go down. We love the industry. I love the work. My friends love this work. We have a passion for it. That's not what's going to, from our end, resolve this. It's really shutting down the machinery, the conveyor belt. So going out there and getting the world to love us and boycott projects is not the goal. It's to say, hey, again, you need gasoline for your car. And unfortunately, until you put in a couple more pennies, we can't give you the gas for the car.
I want to thank Liam O'Brien for spending some time with me tonight and talking about these issues as it pertains to voice actors and the video game industry. If you'd like to learn more about the SAG After Strike, you can go to SAGAFTRA, that's SAGAFTRA.org/interactive, and learn more about what they're doing. It was really nice of him to take his time out and do that with me. If you like The Boop Show, make sure you go to frogpants.com/boop and look for all the ways to support us, to find us, and to hear us. If you have thoughts, questions, or things you'd just like me to read, send them to boopshow@gmail.com. A quick programming note, starting to do a lot more streaming. So head on over to twitch.tv/frogpants and subscribe to the channel. Always on there, doing something. Podcasts, whatever. So check us out there. The Boop Show is a production of the Frog Pants Network and me, Scott Johnson. Again, for more details, check out frogpants.com/boop, and we'll see you next time. Merry Christmas, everyone.
This show is part of the Frog Pants Network. Get more at frogpants.com.
I suddenly remembered my Charlemagne. Let my armies be the rocks and the trees and the birds in the sky. I should have sent it to the Marx Brothers.